Almost Our Culture, Current Events, Our Catholic Faith, 50 minutes every afternoon. Luke Kipford joins us once a month. He'll be with us this afternoon. And Luke, a Lead Like Jesus guy, and ReverbNetwork.com with a daily devotional for leaders there as well. We're going to take a look at a couple of leadership styles. One that has recently been praised for exactly, I think, the reasons why Luke does what he does. And another that has been a high-profile failure. We're going to look at both of these with a little bit of compare and contrast this afternoon and see what exactly we can learn from these two examples. So that'll be interesting. Also, interesting leadership stylings, if you will, on the campaign trail, as now Trump seems to suggest assassinations may be in order for Hillary Clinton should she become president, or maybe justice appointees. I'm not sure exactly what he was referring to, but in grand Trump style of trying to be funny, it appears this is what he's said. So all of that and more this afternoon. Leo Brown Almost Hour, back after this.
You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.
Good afternoon, we're back. I'm Leo Brown, happy to be with you. Leo Brown Almost Hour, 50 minutes every afternoon. Culture, Current Events, Our Catholic Faith, and once a month we're joined by Luke Kipfer. Luke, welcome. How are you?
Hey, real good, Leo. Thanks for having me on the show today.
Sure. ReverbNetwork.org. We find your website there, your devotional for leaders available at the website as well.
That's correct. Right. And the Reverb Network is basically a clearinghouse and networking agency to help bring serving leadership to our world.
That's terrific. And speaking of the world, you just came back from a trip, right? Where were you recently?
Yeah, I was out in three different places. I had two business events, both dealing with leadership, obviously. But probably the most notable of this last trip was a larger church conference. And I was speaking with senior high schoolers on serving leadership.
Hmm. Well received?
It was very well received. I had three sessions with them. And, you know, when you're talking to high school seniors, you have to bring your A game. They can call you out.
Or they can fall asleep. I've seen them fall asleep when I'm speaking to them.
that can happen as well. So I was very, very happy with the turnout and with the response.
Well, that's good. Whenever I see a sleeping student when I'm making a presentation, it's just poetic justice because I was that guy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I was there in high school, so I know it. Well, good. I'm glad you had that trip. That's terrific. So what we wanted to do this afternoon is talk a little bit about leadership styles, and especially those that we see in the news, and maybe even more, I guess, classic examples of some of the not way to do things as they should be done from a servant leadership standpoint. Roger Ailes comes immediately to mind with apparently what is now substantiated allegations of sexual harassment.
You know, we learned so much from the models of others how not to do things. And of course, you know, like you mentioned in the news right now, Roger Ailes is, you know, sounds like there's probably six or more women that are telling the news, coming out and saying, hey, we were sexually harassed. A number of them are saying we were demoted or actually lost our job, taken off the air with Fox News, not allowed to move on in our careers because we would not give into his sexual advances. And so he's now resigned, Leo, and it's interesting to see what's going to take place from here. I mean, the guy was at his at the top of his game. He was making over $1 billion for the company, and it puts Fox News in a difficult place as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and obviously this is a pretty clear example of putting selfish interests above anything else, and if that should be kind of a early indicator, or at least a first indicator, as you begin that process, right? I mean, if we're kind of self-editing, if we have any degree of self-mastery, we should know when we've maybe gotten the equation out of control.
That's very true. In fact, the very opposite of serving leadership is self-serving leadership. And Ailes is a supreme example of a self-serving leader. And very unfortunate. I'm sure he had a lot of good things about him as well, but this is probably going to be the extent of his legacy. I mean, this is probably what he'll be remembered for.
Yeah. Well, and unfortunately, that happens, right? When the fall is big enough, regardless of the accomplishments, regardless of the accolades, when something of this nature happens, not that Bill Cosby has been in a business leadership role, but I think as a public figure, he's kind of taken a role of a leader as well. And unfortunately, we're not going to remember him for his contributions to the world of entertainment. We're going to remember for the fall that he's taken.
Exactly. And these people are all leaders in that they have influence. They're models. They're people that, you know, that we watch. And not just Ailes, you know, in terms of what's happened to him now, but think about the victims. Think about how their lives have been impacted. And, you know, these have far-reaching results. And what's really so sad about a self-serving leader, you know, a lot of times we think that committing evil or committing sin is something that I do against myself. But it always has this far-ranging impact. Mm. I think about his son, you know, Roger Ailes has a son. I think about his wife. And of course the victims. I mean, it's just a tragedy all around in terms of leadership.
Mm-hmm. Well, you think about the victims, and I think that that's interesting to discuss, because there's something about good leadership that really empowers those around them, right? I mean, if we're giving the opportunity for others to succeed, we're building platforms, we're giving them autonomy, we're giving them all of this area to grow and to develop and to really begin to blossom, that's a beautiful way to bring those up within your organization. As soon as something of this nature is, this dynamic is at play, all of that is gone, if there ever was any of that, but it's eradicated.
That's such a good point, because as Jesus said, you know, greater works you will do when I go back to the Father. He came to empower his disciples. He came to set them up for success. And what do we see in Roger Ailes? But somebody who demotes those who he should be empowering. Mm-hmm. And of course, because it didn't, you know, fit into his self-serving game. But I think that's such a key point that you made there, Leo. A good serving leader is there to empower, to help people go, you know, to the next level. And in Roger Ailes' case, as we're reading in the news right now, it's exactly the opposite.
Mm-hmm. Luke Kupfer with us this afternoon, ReverbNetwork.org. You can find his website there. And talking about examples of what we see in leaders that do it well, we'll get to that in a moment, and those who unfortunately have done it wrong. You even had some classic examples going back to Enron and things of this nature where just devastating situations with management and leadership.
You know, Kenneth Lay from Enron, the CEO there, was actually a Sunday school teacher, believe it or not. Mm. And we all remember the Enron scandal. And, of course, around the same time was WorldCom, the big fall there. Mm-hmm. Bernard Ebers was the CEO. Again, he was a Sunday school teacher. You would expect more from these guys. Somehow their religion didn't quite connect with their leadership ethic. And we would call these people hypocrites. Mm-hmm. You know, they said one thing, talked about one thing, even, you know, taught supposedly from the good book. But their leadership raped their companies, raped the futures of all these people that worked at these large companies. And again, you know, we learn so much from the negative example of leaders gone bad. And in this case, unfortunately, Kenneth Lay and Bernard Ebers. But you know, we're going to turn here in a moment to someone very positive, and we've also got positive models, Leo, and I think that's why we look at the good book and we look at Jesus. We can't always look at his followers, but we can certainly look at Jesus, the master carpenter, and how he led and empowered those who were following him.
Mm-hmm. Well, before we take that shift and we begin to look at those leaders that exemplify this this positive role model, how if we're in a situation where we have tremendous responsibility, we have a whatever that looks like. It might be managing money, it might be managing people, it might be in a situation where we just could potentially have some influence. How can we guard against going down these paths that lead to this type of destruction?
Well, what a great question. And I think immediately of Billy Graham, you know, who early on in his ministry, he said, you know what, he talked to his key team. He said, we're not going to let money, fame, and sex take us down. Billy was fanatical in terms of having somebody always travel with him. People would always go into his hotel room before he arrived. He would have somebody, you know, scribing exactly what happened every half hour of his life. Mm. If he was on an elevator and a woman came on and he was alone, he would get off the elevator. The one time that he met with Hillary Clinton, and maybe he met more with her, but it was only in a public restaurant out in the center. You know, Billy was fanatical about erecting these safeguards. Mm. And I think, you know, it's something that has to happen early on in our leadership, Leo. We have to make these standards. We have to call people into our lives as truth tellers who will, you know, call us out. And then we have to be very, very strict in what we allow for ourselves. And, you know, I have no idea about Roger Ailes. I don't know about his personal life, but obviously he was alone with these women. And that would have probably prevented a lot of these problems had he established some personal guidelines.
Yeah. Well, and it takes a tremendous amount of self-awareness to begin that, right? And I think that Fortunately, someone like Billy Graham, knowing how easily someone could be pulled off of the track, pulled you know, the focus, pulled away, especially for something like that. And I mean, my goodness, he knew, obviously, well ahead of time what this could become, and to have that kind of insight and foresight, unfortunately, few leaders really have that, and find themselves, I think, compromised before they even realize it.
Yeah. In fact, the story is actually told of Billy Graham coming to a hotel, but before he got there, his advance team went in, and there was the National Enquirer. They had a prostitute on the bed. They had the cameras set up, ready to roll when she jumped on him when he walked into the room. But thankfully, they were there to clean the room up before he got there. But, you know, the tabloids were trying to pull him down. And one thing you can say about Billy Graham, whether you agree, you know, with him on every point or not, at least he kept his integrity. Yeah. You know, I so appreciate that about his leadership. And
wow.
And he also wasn't taken down in terms of finances, like so many other leaders have been.
Well, I wasn't aware of that they were actually setting a trap for him. And so he would have to send people into the room ahead of him just to keep something of that nature from happening.
Absolutely. That's one of the classic stories that I've heard.
Wow. It's a shame that's what we deal with. And I think, unfortunately, you know, there's always that hope, as odd as it sounds, those who find themselves in this kind of downfall, you'd hope, well, maybe they were just set up.
right.
Maybe that's what happened. Maybe it wasn't as bad as you think. It was all diabolical, and this was the way it ended. But on a positive note, there's some really good leaders out there, and we're going to talk about an example of that coming up in the next segment. And find out more about Luke Kipfer and his organization, Reverb Network, reverbnetwork.org. More to come in just a moment. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour, back after this. Redbox Media, now is a great way for you to go deeper with your favorite show or shows in our programming lineup. With our Friend of the Show opportunity, you get extra exclusive content from your favorite show hosts and lots of extra love from the shows and hosts you love. Become a friend of the show by clicking on the link on our website or app menu. Your $10 monthly premium membership will unlock an exclusive world just for you. Support your favorite show today as a friend of the show. Friend of the Show premium memberships exclusively for you with Redbox Media. Welcome back. I'm Leo Brown, Leo Brown Almost Hour. 50 minutes every afternoon. Culture, current events, our Catholic faith. Luke Kipfer joins us once a month. He is with ReverbNetwork.org. We've been talking about leadership styles, and unfortunately, those who have not had a very good track record in leadership. But welcome back, Luke. We're going to talk about those who have, which is a good thing.
Yeah, it is a good thing, and we finished our first segment there, Leo, talking about Roger Ailes from Fox News, who's now stepped down, thankfully, but all these allegations for sexual harassment to people who worked for him. And we looked at Kenneth Lay, Bernard Ebbers from WorldCom and Enron, you know, some of the negative CEOs that we've seen in terms of leadership. But there is a young man, before we get to our feature here, we're going to be looking at Chobani yogurt. We all love Greek yogurt, don't we? Mm-hmm. But I wanted to just mention briefly, since we were talking about sexual harassment, and that is Tim Tebow, you know, the quarterback that has been kind of foundering out there. I'm not even sure where things are at with Tebow now, but did you ever hear about the $1 million bounty put on his virginity by Ashley Madison?
I did not know about that. No, my goodness.
That was back in 2012, and as far as I know, you know, Tim Tebow has kept his purity. There's a young man who's been a positive leader as well. And so it's great to have these positive models, Leo, that, you know, especially stand in stark contrast to the ones we talked about in the first segment.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. So Chobani yogurt, not only is it a tasty little product there, but it has now become a initial public offering on the stock market after many years of growth, slow growth, and developing this as a private company. And the CEO and the originator of the product has done something to really show that he's a servant leader, right?
He sure is. Hamdi Ulukaya, fascinating person. I believe he's from Turkey originally. And this guy is churning out billions of dollars, over $1 billion in revenue a year. And that's from yogurt. So we're talking a lot of yogurt here, Leo. Mm-hmm. But what's fascinating is the way he runs his company, the focus he has on his employees.
Yeah, and so much, in fact, that he's given those employees that were with him before the going public an actual share of stock in the company that obviously is gonna grow because of the way it's the trajectory we've seen with this.
Exactly. In fact, the payout for the average employee could be as much as $150,000. And he let these guys in. He's all about. In fact, he's been fighting for an increase in the minimum wage as well. He says, let's focus on humanity, not just on the bottom line. Here's a guy who says, let's take care of our people, and our people will do good business, and the bottom line will be just an automatic result of taking good care of your people. Mm-hmm. Sounds like a serving leader to me, this Hamdi Ulukaya from Chobani.
Yeah. And so obviously an example there, we've talked about sharing credit before, and I think that, you know, any leader who says, hey, not only am I going to acknowledge you for the work that you've done and reward you with praise for that, I'm actually going to give you a portion of this. And that, to me, says that's a clear example of sharing that spotlight.
Absolutely. He said, how we built this company matters to me, but how we grow it matters even more. And then he said this, and I think this ties into exactly what you're saying. I want you to be a part of this growth, talking about his employees. I want you to be the driving force of it. So he's actually building ownership, which is a great point to is leaders aren't just trying to get involved in their vision, but they're trying to get their people to actually take ownership of that vision.
Yeah. We lost you a little bit there for a moment, Luke, but something about this, I've heard it said that there's something about believing in things that you help build, right? So if somebody's a part of this, realizing that they're not just an employee, but they're helping putting the pieces together, they're really helping in the construction of the growth or the build of this, that simply by being a part of that ownership, that really puts a degree of loyalty into a team. And obviously that's what Chobani's been able to do.
Exactly. He's promoting a purpose, you know, and everybody who works doesn't want to just collect a paycheck. They want to be involved in something bigger than the paycheck. And I think that's something that Hamdi has done, is he's promoted purpose in his business culture. People have bought into it. They've taken ownership. And he's sharing. He's sharing the wealth with them. He's also part of the Giving Pledge, which is a, you know, a large initiative to get, you know, CEOs like Warren Buffett and Bill Gates, you know, some of these very wealthy people, to give away their wealth while they're still alive, or, you know, at least give half of it away by the time they die. And I just think that a model like this is what we need on Wall Street. We need CEOs like Hamdi Ulukaya who say, you know what, it's more than just the yogurt that we produce. And they've got a killer yogurt, but it's about the people that are in our culture, our business culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's interesting, because something of this nature, it would be easy just to say, well, you know, it's just yogurt, right? It would be easy to say that. It may be great yogurt, but it's just yogurt. But to have this attitude of, no, this really is a purpose, we're building something here that's bigger than the product, which I think we've seen those kind of examples. Certainly Chick-fil-A comes immediately to mind, right? I mean, here's an example. It's not just a chicken sandwich. They have really built this mission, this culture. It's clear what the values are, what they stand for, and that shows. It shows in their business practices, and it shows in their successes.
And what's interesting to me, Leo, is that when I learn this about Chobani's CEO, it makes me want to go buy Chobani yogurt, even if it costs more. And you and I, by the way, are not getting any cuts from Chobani for featuring them today. But
not yet.
Not yet, yeah. But the reality is, you know, when I hear that about a company that's taking good care of their employees, it makes me want to support them by buying the product.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I think that's true of I think that's why it's important to have these kind of conversations, to realize that, you know, there are those organizations out there that are doing things right. They're not just there cutting corners. They're not there just trying to make a buck. They're really trying to say, oh yeah, how do we treat people well? How do we have an excellent product? How do we make sure that we maintain this integrity? And we should reward those organizations by being their patrons. We certainly should do that.
Absolutely. And one other thing about Hamdi Ulukaya, the CEO of Chobani, is he says, let's do more than just write checks to alleviate suffering. You know, he's really engaged with refugees. I think he gave $2 million away last year. Wow. To help with the refugee crisis. But he says, let's even do more than just write checks. And let's get involved. And again, you know, this is going beyond yogurt. It's going beyond the employees in his company. This is also about alleviating suffering and poverty in the world. And I just think, what a great serving leader. I mean, that's really the story of Jesus, who came to the world and focused on the human needs, the human suffering, both spiritual and physical. You know, the world needed a leader, a serving leader. And Jesus was that model. And here we have a modern-day example of a great serving leader who, I would say, and I don't know his, you know, faith profession, but he sure seems to be modeling himself after the example of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm not sure about this. I think he's a Muslim guy, if I'm not mistaken, but I do know that his story is a very humble beginning as an immigrant, and no wonder he has the heart that he has, because he's been able to have this opportunity to grow from what he experienced from poverty into success and wealth, and to be able to really give it back. And it's amazing to see that. So moment left. So what are some practical things we can do to be more of that type of leader?
Well, I think number one, we definitely need to focus on something bigger than just the business we're in. We need to have a purpose that drives us, which is very evident with Hamdi. And then secondly, beyond the purpose, be one who cares about your people. I mean, genuinely cares to the point of expense, where it costs you something. Mm. And, you know, again, I'm sure he's making a lot of money. I'm sure he's doing very well. But, 10% of the company is what he gave away in that initial offering before they went public. It cost him something. And I think as leaders, we're not truly leading someone compassionately unless it actually costs us something. So those are two main points right there that I would take away, that I would sure hand to Hamdi Ulukaya. He's a great example to us as Christians and Catholics alike. We certainly need to see more leaders like him.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that oftentimes it's we have a fear of giving anything away, right? We have a fear that, well, if I do something that's sacrificial, if I give more than I've really got, kind of, so to speak, that's going to end up coming back and being a problem down the road because I've made this ridiculous mistake, which I think the examples are quite the opposite, right? It's usually the ones who have this hoarding mentality or this selfish mentality who end up taking the fall. It's the ones who say, you know what, I'm going to be sacrificial about this. I'm going to make sure that people are taken care of. I'm going to take care of them first, whatever it may be. They're the ones who end up building huge successes, and you really see an amazing dynamic difference in those type of individuals. I mean, it's
yeah. And what's potentially exciting about this as well is how many other leaders will follow in Hamdi's steps. I mean, right. The future is yet to see, but that's a big hope we all have.
Luke, it's always a pleasure. We appreciate you being with us. We'll follow you over at ReverbNetwork.org.
Thank you, Leo. Have a great day.
All right, we'll talk to you next time.
All right.
More to come. We'll be back in a moment. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Back after this.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Good afternoon, we're back. I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you, Leo Brown. Almost Hour, culture, current events, our Catholic faith, 50 minutes every afternoon. I get accused, and rightly so, of frequently bashing Donald Trump. I get accused of that because I do that. Let's put it this way. I look at what's out there and I say, we probably should address that, right? Because that seems crazy. So maybe we should talk about it. I do that, absolutely. And I'm trying to be fair here because I did post this over on my Facebook page, this new bombshell, right? That apparently they've gotten some content of some emails that were exchanged in the early days of Clinton's Secretary of State appointment there. And I'm no Clinton fan. I don't judge me as such. She's ridiculous, rabidly pro-abort. We know that. Willing to support abortions all the way through 9 months of pregnancy into late-term abortions, which, again, I'm sorry, if anyone is pro-choice, why you would be pro-choice of that makes no sense to me. I think at least draw the line. At least draw the line somewhere. Let's discuss that. Let's try to, and she's not willing to discuss that. She has been, as a senator, opposed to any kind of restriction on abortion. We know that that's true. And therefore, that's all I need to know. That's all I need to know. Okay, thank you. I get it. I'm good. She's not getting my support. That's all I need. And I know this email scandal of using an unsecured server is problematic, no doubt. We don't know that any of those emails have been compromised to the point of being a national security issue. But now apparently the new scandal is this, that she used her position as Secretary of State to influence donors into the Clinton Foundation. That seems to be what I'm just discovering here. So there might be something ethically wrong with that, but it wasn't as if she was, to my knowledge now. And again, I'm not saying this to be an apologist for Hillary Clinton or a supporter of her campaign. I'm not saying that. I'm just trying to figure this out and trying to really get to the bottom of this and discover. I understand there's a problem Yeah, there's a potential problem using an unsecured server with classified or top secret information. That's a problem. Yeah, we probably shouldn't do that. Now, she's defended herself and said that she had requested other ways of securing this, but she was using a smartphone, a BlackBerry device, and wanted to see how it could be done effectively, and it wasn't done. We know that. However, to call upon donors or to have an email exchange with donors of a foundation, apparently, as I've discovered it, these were donors who were already there, but they just happened to be taking place while she was Secretary of State. So if there's somebody worried about, was she using her time? Was she on the taxpayer's dime? Is that the concern? She was on the clock. She was on the clock at the State Department. How dare her send an email regarding a donor to the Clinton Foundation during that? Is that what it is? I know that there are people outraged over this. Like, oh my, what? This is terrible. There are egregious things that happen in politics. Absolutely. Maybe I've drunk some Kool-Aid. I don't know. I don't get it. I don't see how is this particular concern devastating. I don't get that. I don't see that. Now, I do see, on the contrary, Donald Trump essentially, and this is his Trumpisms, this is what he does, he's done it from the beginning, and I kind of outlined a few of these on my Facebook page earlier, and I'm like, if this is an attempt at humor, it's not funny. To say about Megyn Kelly, she had blood coming out of her eyes or blood coming out of somewhere, right? That's what he said regarding her moderating the debate in the primaries. He's essentially suggested that Russia come in and hack Hillary's emails that were unsecured and then use that information, release that information, hold that information hostage, whatever it is. He's made that suggestion, which is a breach of national security, which that bothers me. He's suggested, without really any knowledge, and I don't care what you've dug in after the fact on Kazir Khan and the fact that he's an immigration attorney and maybe had some potential personal interest in what he was, but Trump didn't. Yeah, I mean, then say that. So, you know, I'm not sure that we can trust this guy's testimony. I think if you dig in deep enough, you're going to see that he's had a long history of maybe dubious dealings with immigrants. Let's look into that and see. Just to see how trusted his testimony can be. I realize that he had a tragedy with the situation happening with his son. I am sincerely sympathetic to that, but let's really look at what this guy's all about. If that would have been said, I would have said, wow, okay, let's do that. And thank you for having sympathy for the situation that he was discussing at the DNC. That's not what we heard. We heard, I've made a lot of sacrifices, and I'm not even sure his wife was allowed to speak. She didn't say anything. Maybe she wasn't even allowed. So this bizarre suggestion, presumption, whatever it is. And then the fourth that I cited in my list of, are these things funny? Is that what this is about? Was his recent remark regarding what happens if, and now he's hanging his hat on judicial picks. That's kind of what it's come down to. Supreme Court is everything in this decision. We have to realize it's either losing any sort of balance on the court and it going all liberal justices, or a hope for replacing some of the liberal justices that are there now with conservative justices and taking over the court, whatever. It's all about the battle of the court now. And as he was making these statements, saying you can't do anything. If she becomes president, you can't do anything about it. It's going to be this, going to be that, and there's nothing to do unless, of course, you Second Amendment people decide then maybe, right? I mean, so suggesting in a very subtle way that he could, of course, instead he can always, all of these, he could say, well, I didn't mean that. What? No. Which he said about all of these situations, essentially, he comes back and says, well, I didn't mean that. That's not what I was saying. But it was certainly implied. You see the audience reaction even to what he's saying, which are kind of, it's one of those like, it's like the shock comic, right? So sit and watch Louis C.K. He's who I think is hilarious, by the way, but he says some of the most shocking things and you're like, it's so uncomfortable that it's funny, but it's extreme and it's ridiculous. And some of it's very, and typically, generally, always with him, it's very self-deprecating and it's just funny. It's just, it's extreme. It's not for everyone. And I don't recommend anyone with any sensitive sensibilities trying to enjoy Louis C.K. because you won't. You won't. And don't think, oh, he's the voice of Max and the Secret Life of Pets. I'll introduce my kids to him, rather. Don't do that. But at the same time, while that is funny because it is extreme, saying things of this nature on this level, right? Either just say you're going to have a stand-up concert and do that and be as extreme as you want. And then you know what you can say? Oh, I was just joking. Because you know what? You were. Thank you. Yes, you were joking. None of that was real. Maybe it's some of what you believe, of course, that's displayed there. But you're extreme. You're over the top. You're doing it for comic effect. You know what? I'll believe that. Because if something extreme comes out of your mouth, you're a comedian. And you can say, you know what? I was really just joking about that. Can't you take a joke, please? You could say that. You could do that. But if you're running for president and you essentially open all of these doors, national security breaches, the misogyny, the xenophobia, inciting violence, suggesting assassinations, then you really can't come back and say, I was just joking about that. Can't do that. Because you know what? If you're running for president, people are going to take you very seriously as well. They should. They should do that. So they're not going to go, ha, 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 that guy's funny. No, they might just decide to do some of the things that you've suggested, as we've seen happen along the campaign trail, as we've seen happen at rallies when violence was suggested because Trump has said, oh, yeah, kick those guys out of here, get them out of here, and they don't belong in whatever, as aggressively as you need to get them out, and then people end up punching them on the way out. We've seen that. Oh, and by the way, if you happen to get into a fight, I'll cover your legal expenses, which he hasn't done. That's all we have time for this afternoon. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. God bless. We'll be right back.